welcome for this to the Ted Brower Show with your host, Ted Brower, and my co-host, Austin Brower, on this day before the Valentine's weekend. And so I'm going to do you guys a big favor right now. I want you to write something down for me. Back in the 70s, there were a couple of really good songs that you need to send to your spouse or to your girlfriend. And they're not Christian songs, so don't send me letters that I'm sending telling you to send non-Christian songs, but they're really beautiful songs. And if you're a guy and you want to have a great weekend with your Valentine, your wife or your girlfriend, go to YouTube and grab Neil Sedaka, Laughter in the Rain. Neil Sedaka, Laughter in the Rain. I think he spells it S-E-D-A-K-A. And forward that or email that or text that to your wife right now. And she's going to love you for it. It's a wonderful song. And if you're a lady and you have a husband or a boyfriend you really love for Valentine's Day, send them The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face by Roberta Flack. The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face by Roberta Flack. And you guys will have a great weekend for Valentine's Day. These are really, really, really beautiful songs. And I listened to them way back in the 70s. And I tell you what, the 70s had some great music. At least you could understand what they were saying, Austin.
Yeah, that's true.
We weren't having to deal with a bunch of horrible rap. Let's do a scripture for the day. I love this, too. It'll tie back into a little bit more to the Valentine's Day. Go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart. For it is now that God favors what you do. Always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife whom you love. Then it goes on to say in verse 11, the race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise or wealth to the brilliant or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Folks, if you're tuning in today for the first time and you're listening to this program, it wasn't by chance, it wasn't by time. I feel it was God's anointing, and you just happened to find the Ted Brower Show with Austin Brower. And we're going to tell you the truth about a lot of stuff today. We're going to go into a lot of new stuff. And quite frankly, the economy's in a mess. Japan's stock market's continuing to collapse. We're going to go into that in just a few minutes. It's down like 25% now. And so we got another repeat of 2007 coming on. And like I said to you guys at the beginning of the year when I did the forecast, that means that the globalists now, the Rothschild banking, Sabbatane, Frankis, Kabbalists, who pretty much run the exchange stabilization fund with the United States, our shadow government, will probably take us to war next. So God forbid that's going to happen. But I got this email yesterday. And it was supposedly from a little girl who was dying of cancer. And I read it and I thought about life. And I want to read this email to you. Now, whether or not she was really dying from cancer, or it was somebody out there fishing trying to pick up new email addresses, I don't know. But it's a beautiful little poem this kid supposedly wrote. And I was going to go with that for the time being, that it's written by a little girl who had cancer. And she wrote, it's called Slow Dance. Have you ever watched kids on a merry-go-round or listened to the rain slapping on the ground? Ever followed a butterfly's erratic flight or gazed at the sun into the fading night? You better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. The music won't last. Do you run through each day on the fly when you ask, how are you? Do you even hear the reply? When the day is done, do you lie in your bed with the next 100 chores running through your head? You better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. This music won't last. Ever told your child we'll do it tomorrow and in haste not see his sorrow? Ever lost touch? Let a good friendship die because you never had time to even call and say hi? You better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. The music won't last. When you run so fast to get somewhere, you miss half the fun of just getting there. When you worry and hurry through your day, it's like an unopened gift simply thrown away. Life is not a race. Please take it slower. Hear the music before the song is over. Isn't that pretty awesome?
Yeah, it's a nice song.
Okay, I can tell right now you're not overwhelmed with even dealing with the news. But the thing about it is, I wanted to share those things with you about the songs to send to your Valentine this weekend, because you know we've all just got to take a break and we've got to realize that it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And we've got to realize that we've got to put our hope and our cares and our future and our trust in the God of the universe who made everything. And we need to realize that these guys that are taking his creation and destroying it and turning it upside down with transhumanism and all the things that they're doing, they're only in charge for a very short period of time, only on this planet. And God's authority from his dimension still overrides all of that. So remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And today is the day the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice. And I will be glad in it. Austin, what's your first story of the day?
Hey, bud. Yeah, the first one is, you know, we were talking about gold and silver yesterday and a lot of the market. And market's kind of doing funky things again today. But as you can see, the gold and silver come down a tad bit, but they're still extremely elevated from where they were a few weeks ago. This is interesting. This is in from a Bullion by Post, which is Britain's biggest online dealer, online gold and silver dealer. They said they've already taken in record day sales yesterday of 5.6 million as traders pile into gold following the fears the world is on the brink of another financial crisis. Now understand, guys, this is not a paper company. This is not any type of gold trading. This is actually bullion. They're ordering coins, bars, you know, whatever the type of bullion they're ordering. This is actual real physical metal that they're putting in. They said they take up orders up to 25,000 pounds on the website. They take larger ones over the phone, and they've already received a few hundred orders overnight. Again, this was yesterday, and frantic numbers of phone calls this morning. They said the bullion market has been building with interest since the end of last year, but this morning things have gone bananas. Some London banks are placing unusually large orders for actual physical gold. They said the firm has sold over 4,000 gold bars and coins just since February 1st. So this is interesting, guys. I mean, we're seeing more and more of this along the place here. There's local people that I've been reading from. The exact same things happen here. But this is in London. This is over in the UK. This isn't even in the United States. And these guys are catching on to it, too. So, again, like I've told you before, if you're interested in it, pick some up. There's definitely no time like right now to grab it. Why it's still so cheap. Because once this market takes off, once the truth about the silver and the gold manipulation comes to light and people understand that the COMEX sells, you know, 326 ounces of gold for every physical ounce of gold that's actually taken delivered, and people want the physical stuff and it isn't there, this stuff is going to go through the roof. So I just thought I'd let everybody know that we're not the only ones saying it. It's definitely a serious demand right now.
Well, gold has been a hedge against inflation and something to keep your wealth safe in. It necessarily doesn't grow as much as it should, but what it does, it maintains its value against inflation. It always does that. And so if you have money that you want to put aside that you just don't want to have the banks take or lose, and you want it to have at least the same equal value in 10 years that it does now, it's probably going to be gold or precious metals because they have intrinsic value. Because remember, if the dollar really does collapse and gold goes to $10,000 an ounce, that means the dollar is going to be worth one-tenth of what it is right now. That's the thing that you have to look at like this. And see, that's how you preserve your wealth, is wealth preservation. Let me give you another example here. Look at Asia last night. This is how crazily manipulated this market is. Last night in Asia, in Japan, the Nikkei dropped over 900 points one day this week, and then yesterday it dropped over another, this morning, it's Monday, it dropped 760 points overnight again, over there during the day. 760 points. The Chinese market dropped another 210. Japan's down like 25% in the last couple of months. The entire market's collapsed. But then when you get back into the great Rothschild world of Europe and manipulation, the DAX, the German market, is up 214 points. The British market's up 170 points. Did they not just see what happened in China? And then, of course, you come to the United States with this manipulation, with the plunge protection regime. Our Dow's up 293 points, and the S&P's up 32, and NASDAQ's up 67. Are you kidding me? Are they not realizing what's happening, that Japan is on the verge of collapse economically, and yet everything's all happy-happy over here? This is complete and total manipulation by the Economic Stability Fund. We talked about that last week in depth. That was formed in 1934 when they seized all of the gold in the United States, and now it's being maintained and funded through the CIA and through the drug running and all the other illegal activities they're involved in all over the world. And they fund this shadow government, which is what we know. There's a shadow government that runs the entire United States, and this is what it is. It's this Rothschild banking cartel that controls the Treasury of the United States, can print money at whim, doesn't have to disclose what they did with the money. $19 trillion in off-book balance sheets, and Bernanke refused to acknowledge what he did with it. It just is what it is. And so Austin's absolutely right. You know,
as a hedge against future inflation and as a hedge for wealth preservation, nothing beats precious metals. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, this is interesting now. For 2016, the CDC has now gone in and added three more shots to the vaccination schedule of children from birth to 18 years. It looks like on here they added another. This one's really interesting. In the wake of everything going on with Gardasil, the HPV vaccine, they decided that they'd make sure to make it even better now and contain the HPV row a group from 9 to 10 years old, denoting a recommendation to vaccinate high-risk children in that group, including those with a history of sexual abuse. So now, not only are the problems arising from the HPV vaccine not bad enough, now they want to give it to the children even younger and actually double the dose up on them. They still are scheduled to receive, again, the further dose from 10 to 11 and then the booster shot that later on precedes that. And what's crazy here is there's a chart. In 1983, the entire, from birth to 18 years, there was a total of 24 doses. That was it. There was only like 7 times you needed vaccines. They were contained all in one another. That's it. Out of the 1983, that's all you got. In 2006 now, it's almost 2 pages long, 74 doses, which is broken up in 53 different injected vaccines and 3 oral vaccines. That's where we've gone now. I'm looking at this list. I mean, it's like it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And, I mean, it's insane now what they keep doing. And it's funny. I talked to somebody the other day, and they were bringing it up, and you could tell they were kind of starting to wake up as far as the truth about the vaccines. And you start showing them this stuff, and you start talking to them about it. But then they say, well, my doctor told me it's safe, though, that I need to give my children these vaccines. And I said, well, do you not see the statistical problems that are showing up now with HPV, with all these other vaccines? Do you not see what they're linking back to? Well, yeah, but my doctor said I need to do it because if my kid doesn't have them, then he may get one of these. And I'm like, so if your kid gets one of these, it's worth the risk of preventing that with all these different injections and all the risks that are associated with all these injections because he might get something like the influenza virus or something like that. And it's interesting because people have been so stinking brainwashed with these vaccines. It's nauseating. And people just continue to shoot their kids up year after year with this toxic garbage. And now we even talked about last year, the CDC, there's 271 new vaccines in the pipeline just be waiting to be finalized. And the same thing we saw with the Zika virus that you brought up yesterday, Dad. They're making more vaccines for it now. It's insane.
Well, the crazy thing about all of this is that, you know, we have 1 in 58, I think it's higher than that, children right now with learning disabilities and autism. They're saying by 2025, half the children will have autism in the United States. By 2035, all boys will have autism. And by 2036, 2037, all women, all girls will have autism. And again, this is all part of the satanic cult that runs the planet, the cult of the all-seeing eye, whatever you want to call it, the Sabbatine Francis Caballus. I mean, this is where this thing's been going on since Nimrod. It's been going back since Genesis chapter 6. It goes all the way back to the beginning. In fact, the Freedom Articles just released another dose of the truth today, they call it. And they said that this satanic pedophile network has now been exposed in Australia, just like it was already exposed in the United States. Now, a lot of this is going to be hard to listen to, so it's probably there's no good time to give you this story. Someone's going to do it today. The satanic pedophile network, which underlies the New World Order, was again exposed in the last few months by another brave whistleblower, Australian woman, Fiona Barrett. She showed a ton of courage in going public at a Sydney press conference in October 2015 and naming names. Fiona is a former victim of satanic ritual abuse and part of an international VIP pedophile ring. Not only exposed the existence of the satanic pedophile network and its international child trafficking ring, but actually named 3 former Australian prime ministers and 1 former U.S. president as perpetrators. She reveals that this network, composed of famous actors, celebrity judges, politicians, and other high flyers, has infiltrated all of the key organizations and institutions in Australia, just as it has in the United States and Britain. Now, what's interesting about this, she even names Nicole Kidman's father as one of the key ringleaders, and he actually fled Australia when he was about to go under charges of this thing. I believe he was killed in Thailand, murdered, because he was about to turn state's evidence, apparently. So this is some crazy stuff that's going on. You guys can read more about this. I'm not going to give you the exact accounts of what they're doing because it's actually so awful. I don't want to read it on the air. But here's what she says about this. But other than that, I'm not going to give you the accounts, but here's what she says. Fiona explains how the satanic hierarchical pyramid works. Roughly speaking, at the lowest level, you have the street gangs. Next, you have organized crime and the mafia. Next, you have the recruits into the elite club. Then above that, you have the pedophiles who just like to rape children and they have no satanic connection. Finally, at the very top, you have the very elite VIPs who are full-fledged Satanists who are involved in this. Now, this ties together with what I told you back in November and December on the Hagman show, and that what we've done is we've given the ability of the United States, we've voted in and put these people in that are basically trying to enslave us as politicians. They've given over the control to the military. The military's given a control to the CIA. The CIA's given us a control to the sorcerers and to the Luciferians who are involved in all of this. So this all ties back together what we had talked about. And one of the things they do is part of what Aleister Crowley taught everyone back in the early 1900s is they get power when they rape these children. Last night I was watching a TV show called The Blacklist with James Spader. He's just one of the most phenomenal actors in Hollywood. I couldn't watch all of it. I had to kind of flash away from it because they were showing some pretty awful scenes about a witch who was actually killing little children because they had like autism and she was just sacrificing them. And it was crazy. Then finally he calls her out at the end. He goes, you really are a witch. I mean, he called her out as a witch on the show. And basically she ends up getting killed at the end. But the crazy thing about all of this stuff is this is very, very well known in Hollywood insiders. In fact, Dr. Ted Gunderson, who was a former head of the FBI in California for the LA County, he actually listed all of these different satanic bloodlines and sacrificial networks that were in LA County. This is what they do with these people who get into Hollywood. And when you have these A-list actors, I've been told repeatedly through my sources that these people are required to attend these meetings and these sacrifices if they want to remain an A-list actor. Fiona goes on to state that only the bloodliners can make it to the top. These people are from the 13 or so Illuminati bloodlines, as exposed by Fritz Springmeier and David Icke and other researchers. These bloodlines are revered as demigods. These are the ones that are supposedly from the Nephilim, from Lucifer himself, from Genesis chapter 6. And roughly 300 bloodlines or so below that can never make it to the top echelon. The OTO, the Freemasons, Scientology, Catholic Church, the CIA, the Australian military, and many, many others are all branches of the same satanic pedophilia network. It lies at the heart of the international child trafficking ring and the New World Order. Then she goes on to say, this article does, it's tough and bitter to swallow, but we have to face the whole hard, cold truth. The world is run by a satanic cult. Henry McCall calls this out, too. He calls it the cult of the all-seeing eye, whose members have infiltrated the top layers and power centers of Australia, American, and British society, and those of numerous other countries. They are interrelated, and they are bound together by bloodlines and Satanism, with pedophilia, rape, murder, war, and genocide to follow. Fiona warns that every organization in Australia has been infiltrated, including hospitals, psychiatry, politics, child advocacy groups, everything. The Satanists have even created a false memory foundation, a fake organization set up by pedophiles to stop true victims from coming forward with their stories. Satanic black magic rulers rule the world. They control the energy fields around the planet. We've talked about this so many times. Only when enough of us truly grasp the enormity, the horror, and the shock of this fundamental truth, now exposed by a mountain of evidence and a ton of whistleblowers and victims, can we hope to heal it by bringing these psychopaths to justice and restoring some resemblance of honesty, peace, and freedom to the world. Rush Dizdar, in his book, The Black Awakening, goes into detail on this. I recommend all of you guys get that book. I had Russ on when I did the Power Hour twice. A phenomenal guest. But guys, this is some really negative stuff that nobody wants to talk about, but you need to look it up and get some ideas what's going on. Even David Icke, who's not a Christian, in his book The Lion Sleeps No More, he talks about how every time he goes into the hierarchy of the world elite, the bottom line, the common denominator with all of it is Satanism and child sacrifice. And I've talked about it in depth on Hagman's show, why they drink the blood, why they kill the kids, why they do what they do. And it's just a really complicated mess when you start getting into it from a physics standpoint. So I don't try to do that on a one-hour talk show like we have today, but you can listen back to it on the Hagman archives. And again, by the way, the show today is brought to you by healthmasters.com. I thank you so much for your support. We have the finest, highest quality supplements in the world. We appreciate you, buying our stuff and supporting us so we get information like this out. Because guys, Glenn Beck's not talking about this. Even Donald Trump's not talking about this stuff. I mean, Alex Jones talks about it. I'll give him that. Really, Joyce Myers, I've never really heard. Not Joyce Myers. Joyce Riley. Joyce Myers doesn't talk about anything. Joyce Riley every once in a while talks a little bit about this. But this is a major, major mess that you guys need to be aware of. You need to research for yourself. This is some sick, sick stuff that these people are involved in. And they do it because they want to pull the energy out of these children. So, again, thank you for supporting Health Master and support of this program. I appreciate you guys listening. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, it's interesting. It looks like so far the last individual at that wildlife refuge up in Oregon, they basically have all turned themselves in, and the situation has basically been de-escalated and resolved now, and everybody's going home or to jail. Yes, jail. Either one or both. But it's interesting. I saw an article this morning by Diane Rogers, and she went up there at the beginning of February to kind of see what was going on. Actually, not, excuse me, the beginning of February, the beginning of January, right after a lot of this stuff had happened. And it's interesting because she basically said that what was going on up there was a complete and total blow-up of what was really happening, that there were no serious threats ever made. The men were extremely peaceful. The FBI in and of itself was being extremely hostile and aggressive. They had all these armored personnel carriers everywhere. And what's interesting wasn't just the way that they were positioning themselves and making sure these people couldn't get out, but after, you know, the first incidents that started happening, they closed down the entire burned school system because they said armed occupiers are here. Now, what's interesting is that the schools that they closed down were over 30 miles away from where this refuge was. Doesn't make any sense. All it is more fear propaganda. And what's interesting, too, she said the roadblocks, the closures, and the checkpoints were basically a full-blown commonplace all around Burns. She talked to many local people, and they claimed they were being randomly pulled over by authorities demanding they prove their ID or provide their ID just for driving down the street. They weren't going through checkpoints or anything. There were also locals being stopped at armed checkpoints, forced out of their vehicles at gunpoint, while their personal belongings and entire vehicles were searched thoroughly. Many of the guys had nothing on more than just body armor and a patch that said FBI. Every single individual they asked for identification refused to show them any type of ID. All they had on their plate carrier was a tag that said FBI on the front and rear. Nobody would identify themselves as far as law enforcement officers, FBI, anything. And what's interesting about, she brings this up, is that in the 60s, anytime there's very strong civil unrest, even like we saw in Missouri, usually the mayor, the governor, somebody calls in a larger police force, and generally the National Guard will come in and try and restore order at some point. What's interesting is they declined all this. They did not want any National Guard. They did not want any additional police force. All they wanted was their private FBI unit there with all their machine guns, all their MRAPs, all their gear they had, and did not want anybody else involved in it. I don't know what was going on in this whole situation, but it does not make any sense to me, because even with the Clive and Bundy standoff that happened 2 years ago, almost all those guys involved in that were from BLM. They had BLM on their vehicles. They had full BLM attire. All their shirts said that, which is the Bureau of Land Management. Everybody was clearly marked. These guys are not that. They are not that at all. Even the MRAPs are full OD green, which is olive drape green, which is basically military green. No markings on the MRAPs at all, nothing, which makes me believe that that article that I read last week about that judge and multiple individuals up there in Oregon stating that the FBI agents that were there were not FBI, they were basically IMF mercenaries following under the law of the FBI there, following their lead. It makes me think more and more that may have actually been an accurate article that I read, just of how strange and bizarre this whole situation is over there.
No, I wouldn't doubt that at all, Austin. You know, what's going to happen is the more we go into this police state and the deeper we get into tyranny and the deeper we get into this black ops stuff that the country's gone into now, they're not going to be able to find police or FBI agents that are actually part of the FBI or part of the police people here in the United States that are going to be willing to do this. And let me talk to you guys for just a minute if you're a police officer. I have the highest respect for you guys if you're a law-abiding citizen and you go by the Constitution. I really do. And every time I ever get pulled by a police officer for speeding or for whatever, I'm always extremely courteous and extremely polite, because I realize that what you guys do is an extremely dangerous, very arduous, very complicated, very tough job. I got that, and I support you guys. But let me explain something to you what Adolf Hitler did. When Adolf Hitler came into power, and he had the brown shirts, he had his own police force, and he kind of took over the United States with what he was doing. That was his Freudian slip. He kind of took over the for Germany with what he did with the brown shirts. Then he had the knife, the long knives. And then what he did is everybody who opposed him, even a lot of the people who helped him come to power that night, he had them all killed. He had them all killed. They were murdered in the night. And he actually took responsibility for all of it. And see, this is what's going to happen here. Sure, you guys may help this New World Order if you're the mercenaries that we're talking about who are involved in this and you're listening to this show today. I got that. And you're getting paid very well to do this. I got that too. But the point is, guys, at what cost? The cost of your soul? The cost of your life? You know, the life that we have here on this planet is just a short little time. We're but a vapor. We're but a mist, and then we're gone. I mean, are you really willing to compromise your entire soul and your future as far as for eternity to do all of this mess and to harass people? The man who was shot up there in Idaho, he was clearly executed. I've watched the videos. I mean, he had his hands up, and he was shot. And then when he got shot on the side, he reached down where the bullet went in, and they said he was going for a gun. And, of course, they opened up and shot him multiple times, even while he was laying in the snow. Are you kidding me? He was straight executed. I mean, that's not the America that we live in. That's the Gestapo. That's the SS. That's Nazi Germany. This is not that. I hope and pray to God it's not. I mean, I hope I don't hear the footsteps of the SS walking down the cobblestone streets of Washington, D.C. right now, you know, screaming Sieg Heil to Herr Hitler or to Herr Obama. I mean, I hope that doesn't happen here. I mean, we hope we can get this stuff fixed. And I'm going to tell you this again. If not Donald Trump, who? This election for 2016, as 2008 was a pivotal time in our country's history when we put a socialist communist in the White House, supposedly, whether that's true or not, I don't know if he even won the election. We put a communist in the White House, but George Bush was so horrible that anybody running against the Republican Party would have won. That's George W. He was horrible. No weapons of mass destruction. Invades Iraq. Thinks it's going to be a cakewalk. I mean, the only reason Iraq, he stayed together for the few years that Bush was in and the first few years of Obama, because we had such a strong military presence. As soon as we started pulling our military out of the place, went into a full-blown civil war again. And that's because Saddam Hussein just happened to be the meanest SOB on the planet over there and was ruling with an iron fist. Because remember, these people are not Christians. They don't believe in turn the other cheek or, you know, if somebody asks you for your robe, you give them your tunic too. I mean, they don't believe in all that. They believe in an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. They haven't been raised as Christians. They don't believe in love. They don't believe in mercy. They don't believe in peace. They don't believe in any of that. That is not the Muslim way. That is not the Islam way. The Islam way is a religion of war. It is not a religion of peace. And the only way Saddam Hussein could contain that mess in Iraq was to be the meanest SOB, forgive my language, but I guess you can call him a son of a biscuit eater, in the whole planet. He was mean. He controlled those gangs and those mercenaries and those terrorists that came into Iraq. He controlled them. And when we went in there and we took him out, with the Wolfowitz doctrine, and we went in there, we put in a Rothschild-controlled central bank in Iraq, I knew at that point in time they were never going to accept that. Because remember, Wolfowitz was Jewish. This is an Iraq. Iraq is a Muslim country. And when you bring Wolfowitz in there, bring in the central bank, and you put them under the boot of the Rothschild banking cartel, they're not going to submit. I'm telling you guys that right now. They will never submit to that. Because it's not within them. They have too many warring factions, too many tribal factions in their behavioral, you know, makeup and their behavioral repertoire. They're not going to allow that to happen. So if we ever want to get this mess done in Iraq, we just got to let these guys get out of their way. We got to get out of their way and do what they're going to do and try to just not get shot in the meantime. Here's an article from Daily Caller Peter Henson. This is the University of Texas police give a preacher a citation for ascending two students. This is the University of Austin, Texas. Department issued a disorderly conduct citation to an outdoor preacher on Tuesday after students complained that his message had offended them. The preacher who was standing just off campus recorded his interaction with several university police officers who explained that it was illegal for him to offend the students. Back to political correctness. The preacher was an intern with Campus Ministry USA, an evangelical ministry organization that travels around college campuses loudly preaching their message. The message is headed by one brother, Jed Smock, who told the Daily Caller that his intern, Joshua, was speaking out against sexually transmitted diseases and warning against anal sex or sodomy. The university told
the D.C. that the officer was responding to students who claimed to be verbally harassed by the intern preacher. The video shows the officer explaining that the intern's use of anal and penis offended students before issuing a citation for disorderly conduct. After a lawyer representing Joshua called the chief of police, the chief called Joshua and apologized, and the citation was withdrawn. Officers, listen to me. If it's in our Constitution, if it's a First Amendment right, if he's not even on campus, he has every bit the right to say that. Years ago, I went to Florida State University, and they wanted me to give them some money, okay, to take the sugar coat off of it. And I told them, and they brought me up there, and I met T.K. Weatherall. Great guy, really nice guy. You know, he's a super nice guy, by the way. And I met him, and we were at Ruby Diamond Hall, there where his office is, and we were walking around campus with him. And also I looked at the hall there, and the play they had that was going right there at that time at Florida State was The Vagina Chronicles. Now, you heard me right, The Vagina Chronicles, the female body part that reproduces, right? The Vagina Chronicles, and it was about a talking vagina. Austin, I don't think I've ever told you this. I mean, so they had a play on about a talking vagina. Well, that offended me. That really offended me. I think the whole thing's ridiculous, okay? But the point is, I don't want the people that are doing talking vaginas to be arrested. I mean, God, are you kidding? We can't do that. We have to have freedom of speech in this country, because once you start talking to people and saying you can't say this and you can't say that, I mean, if a Muslim starts yelling jihad, why does he have the right to yell jihad? Why does he have the right to say Allah? Why does he have the right to say all of these things and we can't rebuke him or say anything back or we get arrested? Why is he allowed to rape, steal, and plunder the people in Europe and in Germany right now, and their shop owners are told to ignore it all and the people are told to take different routes? None of this is right. This is political correctness run amok. We've been brainwashed by the Tavistock Institute. They've trained us and trained us and trained us like lab rats not to respond, not to say anything. And now we're supposedly losing our rights as Christians to be able to speak out about what we know is right and what we know is wrong. What do you think, Oz?
Well, yeah, I mean, the fact that, I mean, the police chief apologized and the citation was voided and all that was at least good on that aspect. But the fact that the officer even thought he had the right to write him a citation for basically disturbing the peace, for offending students. First off, guys, speech that I say that offends others is protected by my First Amendment. Whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, whether you say something I like, it doesn't matter. And what's contrary to the officer's statement, it is not the job of the police to do something about it if I offend you. That's your job to get over it and stop being a baby. The same way if you say something I don't like, it's my job to deal with it and get past it. Issuing a disorderly conduct citation based on the content of speech is a full violation of decades of clear Supreme Court ruling that our First Amendment speech cannot be impeded. And the reason why we have that is so we're not in the same situation like these other countries. This is crazy right here. This is in a Danish man was convicted and fined. This is a couple weeks ago for comparing the religion of Islam to Nazism. You're right. Convicted and fined. This is the latest example how Europe is clamping down on free speech as millions of Muslim migrants flood into the continent. This is crazy right here. I couldn't even believe this the first time I read the article. I had to go look it back up. Fleming Nielsen wrote a Facebook post in which he stated, and I quote, "The ideology of Islam is just as loathsome, disgusting, suppressive, and dehumanizing as Nazism. The mass immigration we are now seeing is the most destructive thing that has happened for the Danish society in recent history," end quote. That's all he said. And in my opinion, he's fairly accurate in that standpoint. And quite frankly, even if I didn't, he can say whatever he wants, and it's his right. Ah, not over here. Prosecutors successfully argued that Nielsen's rhetoric was racist. Wait a minute. I thought he was talking about Islam. Islam's not a race. Oh, it doesn't matter. They still charged him with being racist, and he was hit with a 1,600 kronar fine. They stated Nielsen's comments were found to be insulting and degrading towards followers of Islam, and he was charged under the country's criminal code for racist offenses. First, again, like I said, he was talking about Islam, comparing it to the Nazis. It has nothing to do with race whatsoever. It doesn't even make sense. He tried to appeal it, but they said that nothing can be appealed unless the fine is over 3,000 kronar. Now understand, Denmark has accepted over 20,000 Muslim refugees just last year back in October, it got so bad over there that the prime minister had to introduce a plan to mandate migrants to take sexual consent lessons after a spate of rapes committed by immigrants. They had to take mandatory classes to understand how sexual consent is supposedly supposed to happen. You don't just grab a girl off the street and rape her because you feel like doing so. That's what's going on over there in Denmark. And the fact that they fine this guy for speaking his mind just shows you how far it's going downhill in Europe, and it's trying to come to America. That's why we have to do everything we can to hold on to that First and Second Amendment right. The Second Amendment right is the only one that even lets us hold on to that First Amendment right, because I promise you guys, if you all let the guns go away, if you vote these guns out, if you allow these Democrats and all them start banning these weapons, I promise you the First Amendment will disappear very quickly after the firearms disappear, and I can't be any more clear about that.
Well, you're right. Lincoln did the same thing. Lincoln started seizing yep. guns and weapons and all. He also started banning newspapers and actually locking people up in jail. They were writing in articles about him and saying that he was wrong about what he was doing in the South. He started basically incarcerating huge newspaper families and putting them in jail if they wrote anything about him that was not positive as far as what he was doing against, you know, the aggression against the South. The same thing Hitler did. I mean, you have to control the media. You've got, see, the biggest mistake the New World Order ever made was allowing the internet to go uncensored to start with. You know, now they've done it uncensored, they really have a hard time putting the genie back in the bottle because so many people are now awake. I mean, this podcast that we're doing right now, this radio show that we're doing that's being aired all over the planet is because of the internet. People are waking up everywhere because people are being told the truth. Finally, after this huge news blackout since 1947. Since 1947, we've operated under a complete news blackout and secrecy in the United States when the OSS became the CIA. And they started controlling the news and controlling the narrative. And remember this, a lot of this had to happen because of what happened at Roswell. I know a lot of you still don't believe me when I talk about this, but you've got to get your head wrapped around what happened at Roswell and what's happening with all of this stuff and this advanced technology that we're all being exposed to now. These fallen angels, whatever you want to call them, aliens, angels, whatever, they've been involved with human development for a long, long time, and the Nazis were using the Viril Maidens to contact these guys in a different dimension. Tesla, they said, was using all of this stuff. And for some reason, when Aleister Crowley started opening these portals, we started having all of this huge stuff happening with these fallen entities. And see, that's what you've got to get your head around. Something really did happen in Roswell. That was not a weather balloon. That was something else. And so we have all of this technology in the last 80 years. Are you kidding me? This stuff is so advanced. It's insane. And they're saying, Dr. Colonel Corso, who wrote the book The Day After Roswell, is a must-read for everybody listening today. And he said very specifically, he said that every single thing that we've been taught about all of this stuff is simply obfuscation. He said this stuff happened. He said that lasers and computers and the printed circuit board and Kevlar and night vision, he starts listing all of this stuff that was retro-engineered from these different spaceships. He was involved in the projects to get it done. Full Bird Colonel blows the whistle for three different administrations, wrote the book, was the bestseller. But again, that gets obfuscated and falls back under the term conspiracy theory, and nobody wants to talk about it. We've got to look at it. When I read the book The Money Mafia by Paul Helluri, who was a former prime minister, defense minister of Canada, he wrote a whole book on the Rothschild banking satanic cartel that's running the planet, and in the middle of the book he starts talking about the day after Roswell with Corso and said that every single word in that book was true. Now, that made me want to read the other book, so that's when I read the next book. Because I'm like you guys, a lot of you guys right now, I was on the fence about a lot of this stuff. But if you get your head around the fact, if you believe in God, if you believe in Genesis chapter 6, if you believe in the fall of the fallen angels, if you believe what happened with the Nephilim, if you believe that Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return, if you believe all of that stuff as a Christian, then you have to wrap your head around all of this stuff, because this stuff's real, and it's happening right now around us, all over the planet. And we have to get a handle on this and understand this is a demonic thing that's happening to us on this planet. It's all about controlling the energy field and the matrix that we live in around us and the energy on this planet, and that's what it's all about. Let me read you another one. This is it goes right back to the Rothschild banking cartel that's running everything. This is another article from Pam Martins, and she goes, the banks are tanking, but Wall Street is keeping too many secrets for its own good. Starting last July, the share prices of the biggest banks on Wall Street have been on a downward trajectory. That trend heated up yesterday with Citigroup and Bank of America both dropping over 6% by the close of trading in one day. Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley were down by over 4%. All four of the banks set new 12-month lows in intraday trading. Now, of course, the Dow's back up again because the plunge protection team came in. She goes on to say, a strong argument can be made that much of the public's lack of confidence in these complex banking and gambling behemoths is a result of the dark curtain that has been drawn around their operations. That's exactly right. Evidence is piling up that the government regulators of Wall Street no longer see themselves as the protectors of the people, but as protectors of the Wall Street secret gangs. The American historian Henry Steele Commanger once wrote that the generation that made the nation through thought, secrecy, and government one of the instruments of the old world tyranny and committed itself to the principles that a democracy cannot function unless people are permitted to know what their government is up to. So what he's saying is if we don't know what their government's up to, a republic cannot function. It's impossible. In that vein, on this very first day in office on January 24, 2009, as the U.S. economy was in tatters from the greatest era of Wall Street corruption in the history of our nation, President Obama promised the American people a new era of transparency. 2 months later, under the president's orders, the U.S. Secretary General's office, Attorney General's office, issued detailed guidelines on how government agents were to respond to public and press requests for documents under the Freedom of Information Act. And we've been living in a dark hole ever since it came to Wall Street. I mean, they don't tell us anything. Yesterday, we reported on the Federal Reserve defying a congressional subpoena over a Federal Reserve leak of market-moving information to a company whose business model involves sniffing out tidbits of information from government sources and selling it to the hedge funds and Wall Street banks. The Fed has stonewalled this House committee for a year, and none of these guys go to jail. See, this is what's going on. This whole economic stability fund that's been put out there in 1934, after the bankruptcy of the United States in 1933, has been the shadow government running all of this stuff and basically extracting the very wealth of the people of the United States and turning us all into indentured servants, including with that ridiculous student loan program they've got right now. What's your next story, Austin? Do you have any comments on what I just said?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the student loan thing is ridiculous, especially the fact when they mandated they can't be bankrupt. I mean, that completely was 100% designed from that point to completely indebt the global population at that point, the U.S. population primarily, for the rest of their lives. Because again, most people think when they graduate from college, you know, that they're going to have this huge high paying job. I think the average job when they get out of college is like $36,000 a year, $32,000 a year, something like that, with a bachelor's degree. And these kids come out of, you know, with $100,000 in debt. We've discussed this numerous times. And the problem is when you start having life happen, you know, you buy a house, you buy cars, you have credit cards, you get married, you have a kid, you know, all of a sudden that $100,000 that you're paying substantial amount of interest on for the fact that it produced nothing. That's the biggest kick that I get out of this with these student loans is there's nothing bought, there's nothing built, there's nothing produced. They're giving you a loan for education, for knowledge, and basically paying the school a certain amount. So how in the world do they even have a moral or legal right to charge you interest on these loans? To me, that's just, I mean, if the student loans are, they're not going to be able to allow them to go, make you allow them to bankrupt them, it needs to be a 0.0% interest loan. That's all it needs to be at the very maximum. That way, all you do is pay 100% principal every single payment you put on it instead of this nonsense where there's these 4, 5, 6% loans, and then if you default on it after one payment, it balloons up to 29% interest. It's complete and total usury. It's satanic. And that's exactly what it is at its very root. Here's a new article that just came out. We talked about it about 2 years ago. This was just starting to get some leeway. Now, again, the Department of Education with the Department of Health is teaming up, and they're actually starting to push this further now. The federal government is seeking to create a new bureaucracy that would intervene in family life and could even see state-appointed monitors conduct routine home visits to assess your child's well-being. Yes, I said that correctly. The Department of Education and Health and Human Services has published a joint draft now documenting which outlines a plan that they want to instill that will treat families as equal partners in the raising of children, completely opening the door for government intrusion on all levels. The paper basically goes into detail how government employees will need to intervene and provide monitoring goals for children at home in the classroom, and if parents are failing to meet the standards set, that evidence-based parenting intervention will have to be made, ensuring that children's social, emotional, and behavioral needs are met. The document even goes further to reveal how the state will help oversee constant monitoring and communication regarding children's social, emotional, and behavioral health. And also, too, in a regular development, the federal government now is pushing in that same memo for a task force to oversee a program under which pediatricians and doctors, with no parent consent, will screen all students over 12 years of age regularly for depression and issue them prescriptions or treatment as necessary. There you go right there. That is the whole aspect right there when you start seeing everything with Obamacare, the whole thing that it ties into right here and everything. It's all about being a nanny state, raising your child to be a good little servant. There, that's it in a nutshell.
A good little drug servant.
Good little drug servant on top of that.
The state does not want you thinking. They don't want you listening to this broadcast. They don't want you realizing what they've done to you and what they're continuing to do to you. And the state isn't the congressmen and the senators and the people that are so corrupt in Washington. That's not who's running this country anymore. Even Bill Clinton said that once you become president of the United States, you find out that you're the figurehead and that somebody else makes all the decisions. Well, we know that. It's the shadow government. We've got that, okay? I mean, you can just. There's so much research on that now; it's ridiculous. And this shadow government is a bunch of evil folks that are running all this stuff. And see, they want to dumb you down as quickly as they can. They want to get you on Gardasil shots as quick as they can, boys and girls now, so they can get you sterilized as quickly as they can. They want you to get everybody on drugs as quick as you can, so that you can become dependent on the drugs. And they want to have you on in a quasi conscious state. That's what they want. When they say. Go over here and stand in front of this wall. We want to take a picture of you. There's 40 of you in front of the wall, and they pull the machine guns out. Let me explain something to you. This is what you have to understand. When you see these pictures in Nazi Germany and in Stalin and Russia of these people that are being lined up in front of concrete block walls, and they stand there and they get shot, the vast majority of these people were drugged. They stand there in a ditch full of dead bodies, and they shoot them in the back of the head, and their bodies fall into the ditch. The next 25 run up behind them, stand in front of the ditch. There is no way on God's green earth, Austin, that those people are not drugged. When they're looking in the ditch, they know what's fixing to happen. Now, a lot of them may be completely in shock and can't even believe what's happening, but there's no way that somebody's not going to walk away from that deal and say, you know what, I'd rather just have you just shoot me while I'm running. How about that? Or how about I try to take a few of you boys out with me if I'm going out, you're going with me. I mean, why don't we? But you don't see that. You see, something had to happen. They learned they had to drug these guys in the concentration camps. They started doing it with fluoride. IG Farben figured out how to do it. They give them the fluoride, which is the active ingredient in Prozac. They pump this stuff full of their brains. They start dropping their IQ scores, and they become obedient, servile servants who are infertile. That's what it's all about. It's about taking you, getting rid of you, so they can take their lives, transfer themselves into some transhumanistic existence in a robot, and get rid of the rest of us on the planet except for the slave class that's going to serve them and meet their needs. That's what this is all about. That's what they want to do. This is always Lucifer's plan, is to destroy God's creation. That's what he wants. And now he has the technology that he believes to do it. But I've got news for him. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And as long as there's breath in my voice and breath in my lungs and the ability to speak and to think clearly, I'm going to preach the truth about what's happening with this stuff. I don't care who doesn't like me preaching. I don't care who doesn't want me to preach. I'm going to tell the truth until my last day, because nobody's going to say Ted Brewer sat on the sidelines and he didn't get involved in this and he allowed this tyranny to envelop this country. Nobody's going to say that. They're going to say, Ted Brewer tried to warn you. Ted Brewer tried to tell you. All these people tried to warn you. David Icke tried to warn you. Alex Jones tried to warn you. Doug and Joe Hagman tried to warn you. Dave Hodges tried to warn you. Joyce Riley tried to warn you. All of these people are telling you the same thing I'm telling you, guys. It's that bad. And the problem is, if we don't wake the heck up and realize this and get something happening, that's why I don't know what to do about the election in November. All I know is Donald Trump's talking the talk and walking the walk.
I mean, nobody else is. Everybody else looks like a bunch of stinking parrots. We got Rubio, who likes to go to gay foam parties up there. We got Ted Cruz, who likes to cheat and do dirty tricks with elections. We got Jeb Bush, who's part of the Bush crime family syndicate. Who the heck are we going to vote for? There's nobody else left. I mean, this is kind of like elimination day here. I mean, we have no choice here. Either Donald Trump's going to save the country, or he's going to be a globalist insider who's going to take us down the rest of the way. I don't think he's going to do that. I really don't. I don't think he'll allow himself to be put in that position. I don't think he'll do that because he's a type A. He's had enough of this stuff. He wants the United States back to what the United States was, and I believe he's going to try to take us to freedom. Now, whether he lives long enough to do that, I don't know. I have no idea. But we'll know one thing for certain, like we did with John F. Kennedy. If they killed Trump, he was for real, just like Kennedy was for real.
Yep.
We'll know that for sure. God forbid that happens, because I don't want that to happen. I want the guy to be 8 years in the White House and try to turn this mess around and get rid of all these stinking pedophiles in Washington, D.C. I want him to expose all of this mess and have called for another election and get rid of these guys. I mean, nobody's going to vote for somebody if they know they're a pedophile. I mean, they're not going to do that. Let's get rid of them. Wayne Allyn Root discussed all of this on Wednesday in detail. Here's another article. Report: Christians and women are fleeing asylum centers due to persecution by Muslim men in Germany. According to the newspaper, German newspaper Die Welt, the violence toward ethnic minorities, religious minorities, and women continues to skyrocket across German asylum centers. This is an article out of Breitbart. It goes on to say, Christians and women are fleeing asylum centers in Germany in ever-growing numbers due to acts of violence, intolerance, and crime perpetrated by Muslim men. I mean, this is crazy. They're sexually abusing the women, sexually abusing the children. The news has led to calls from human rights campaigners saying that enough is enough. In Stuttgart, I've got friends who live in Stuttgart, a case of abuse towards an Assyrian Christian by a Muslim roommate led to a petition for separate housing that was signed by over 17,000 people online. The petition, organized by the Central Oriental Christians, asked the city of Stuttgart to please accommodate the displaced Christians in Stuttgart and keep them away from further distress and persecution when they're exposed to the Muslims. I mean, this is nuts. How in the world can we pretend like this isn't happening? What if they grab your daughter when she goes to school? And they do something horrible to her, and she's 7 or 8 or 9 years old, or they rape your little 3-year-old boy. Is that going to get you excited at that point? Are you going to be mad? Are you going to be pissed off? What is it going to take to get you to realize this isn't a game anymore? We are being infiltrated by Muslim jihadists in the middle of the night, coming in on transport planes, bypassing everything the United States security was meant to do as far as border control, and nobody's saying anything about it. I mean, except for all of us who are on alternative radio. This is a nightmare. It's going to come back to roost. It's going to come back to haunt us, and we're going to be dealing with this. We either deal with it now, or we're going to have to deal with it later. These guys be put back on the same plane and drop back over Iraq or wherever they want to go and be done with these guys and be finished with this mess. Don't let them back into the United States. Don't allow these clerics to come in and train these Muslims group as jihadists all over the United States. What's your next story, Austin?
Especially the fact that we've a little rowdy there, but no, we've already known that there's multiple Muslim camps, jihad, ISIS camps, whatever you want to call them, all across the United States that are under investigation, under watch, supposedly by the FBI. But my question is, why do we continue to watch them? Why don't they go in? I mean, a couple Americans with AR-15s go into a refuge and try and demand that the government stop taking our land from us, and the FBI flips out and starts bringing in helicopters, armored personnel carriers, and kills an unarmed man in a vehicle when he runs off the side of the road. And that's supposed to be okay. That's normal behavior. That's okay because, you know, they were armed occupiers. But then we have these individuals here that want to do nothing but just promote ill will towards the entire American public, but we're supposed to show them good graces here. It's pretty ridiculous. And it's one thing that I did want to mention when you're talking about Donald, is that one aspect that I love about him is trying to get the jobs back in the United States and quit all this outsourcing all over the world. Now, I understand a lot of these big corporations, that saves them millions, if not billions of dollars a year, outsourcing certain parts and stuff like that. But we have to understand that one of the main reasons why the economy and the GDP and everything surrounding that has gotten so slow and so poor is because there are no good legitimate manufacturing jobs anymore. I just watched a video that was put up on InfoWars earlier. It showed basically thousands of U.S. workers learning that they're losing their jobs at Carrier Air Conditioning because they decided they're going to move their entire manufacturing plant down to Mexico because it'll save them some amount of money. That's Carrier Air Conditioning. All these guys are losing their jobs over there. For what? So this company can make an extra couple hundred thousand, couple million dollars a year by having their plant in Mexico? Sure, it saves money, but now you have another, you know, almost 2,000 people from this Carrier Air Conditioner company without a job, with nothing to do, to just add further into the pool that need to that need help, legitimate help from the government. This is what's going on. This is why we have, you know, a 40-50+ unemployment right now. It's continuing to get worse and worse and worse. And then when we add in the Islamic Muslim infiltration, we bring in hundreds of thousands of them in every year. And I read that article a few months ago. When they get here, the first thing they get is $950 in cash. They get transport from the airport. They get transport to an apartment. They get a free apartment. They get a gift card to furnish their apartment. Then they get free bus transport and bus passes anywhere they want. They get free applications and help with trying to get a job here, and including applications for any type of government subsidies, including, you know, food stamps, the SNAP program, all that other stuff, as soon as they get here. We can't continue on this road, guys. We can't continue to keep giving away free money to people that produce nothing and make nothing, that do nothing contributing to society. So, I mean, that's something that people have to understand. I know so many people got mad when Trump made that comment a couple months ago about letting in unvetted Muslims, and it needs to stop. He's being racist, and he's being a bigot, and he can't say that. And quite frankly, he was spot on. We need to get our own country under control before we bring in more people that want to do nothing here but do basically negative actions towards us. And that's just the truth, guys. That is the flat-out truth.
I agree with every word you said. Now, he's talking about the higher unemployment rates when you have to look at the people that have dropped off the unemployment rolls or have given up looking for jobs. These statistics of Donald Trump that we're going to talk about on Sunday night, I'll be live with you again on Sunday night. But I want to read you this article real quick. Intel chief, we might use your smart home devices to spy on you. Clapper drops bombshell in annual threat assessment. The nation's top intelligence officer admitted Tuesday that the government may use information transmitted to the internet from your washing machine, your thermostat, your television, your refrigerator, or your favorite video game against you. Almost every home appliance and electronic gadget sold is outfitted with a computer chip, constantly feeding information about their owners back to utilities, manufacturers, and other data networks. I'll cover this in more detail on Sunday night also. Guys, there's the music. I love you. Have a great Valentine's Day. I appreciate you. Thank you for your support of healthmasters.com. Sign up on a free newsletter we send out every day for you guys. I just want to thank you for supporting us and buying your vitamins and your supplements from us. I really appreciate you doing that. Thank you for helping us to create the highest quality supplements in the world. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I'll talk to you Sunday night. Austin, go ahead and close.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate everything. You have a blessed weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sunday night, guys. Good night.